What's that old adage, Tom? You can only make an impression one
right.
time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's kind of applicable here because this is going to set the tone for our entire basis of our radio relationship with the new head coach of your Everett Silvertips. He looks too young to be a head coach. Dennis, if you could speak directly into the microphone there. Congratulations. Welcome to the new gig as the new head coach of the Everett Silvertips.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to be here. And I know my wife and kids couldn't make it out this weekend, but they're extremely excited as well.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
You need to bring them out here when the sun's shining like
this. Well, I need to show them this view from up top here. This is pretty nice.
This is where the king lives. So welcome to the show. I won't ask you a lot of the normal questions that you probably got peppered with down at the press conference today. This is more of a getting to know you
great.
Kind of thing. So born and raised?
Stratford, Ontario. Just outside of Toronto, about an hour and a half southwest.
Okay.
A small little hockey town of 30,000 people and big junior B program up there. A lot of NHLers came out of it. My brother's actually the head coach up there right now.
For
the Stratford Carltons in our hometown, and really rich in tradition of getting players. Nelson Emerson, Chris Pronger, Rob Blake, Eddie Olczyk, guys have all came through. So it's we grew up in, it's the only sport we knew how to play.
Well, you said you grew up in a hockey town. What hockey town in Canada isn't a hockey
town?
Is there one? Name them right now.
Maple
Leafs fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, growing up, Toronto Maple Leafs fan, having the opportunity, my dad, you know, saving up for Christmas and taking us to the old Maple Leaf Gardens for, you know, your Christmas gift was a big thing as a young hockey player. And the Leafs turned around a bit this year, which was nice. And, you know, obviously they got a big year coming up again next year. But
Now, did you, obviously you played hockey. Mm-hmm. And tell us about your playing career.
Yeah. I played junior hockey in my hometown of Stratford and then went on a scholarship to Bowling Green State University in Ohio.
Tom, the nickname of the Bowling Green...
Green Wave? No.
Bowling Green... We're trying to think of the nickname.
Falcons.
The Falcons. They got a good football team.
They got a good
team,
football
team
in the MAC. And they got a pretty good basketball team as well. Their hockey team's in the now in the WCHA. So I went there for 4 years, played, had some great advice from a coach, now scout for the Dallas Stars. Buddy Powers was my coach, and... actually shot me a text today already, and he told me if you wanted to try playing, you better go try it, otherwise you'll have regrets. So
what position did you play?
I was a forward.
A forward?
Yeah, right wing, and I went down to Odessa, Texas.
The hotbed of hockey, Odessa, Texas.
It was quite an experience. My first time as a 21-year-old driving down there, and played a little bit down there, and then got right into coaching right after.
So you wanted to play in the NHL. Every kid that put on skates, your goal was to be an NHL player.
That was your dream, you know.
When did that dream die? When did you realize, I'm going to be in this sport, but I'm going to now be a coach? At some point, you had to mentally go through that, right?
Yeah, I think all players do at some point of their career. Some are earlier, and some get to play in the National Hockey League. And, you know, I think it was kind of just... I kind of knew, obviously, throughout my years in college that I probably wasn't going to make that jump. Mm-hmm. And then when I got done playing, I remember I came home and my dad, I was living at my – went back home, and like any kid done playing hockey, feel sorry for yourself. And you want mom and dad to take care of you. And my dad kind of told me, like, you either got to get a job or go back to school or do something. So I went back to school and enrolled in graduate school. I got my master's back in Bowling Green and then started coaching back there. And since then, I was probably 22 years old. I've been coaching since.
You have put together a nice record. Some of the records you put on board with a couple of the teams you've coached. In fact, 67% winning percentage over the last seven seasons in your two combined stops. Now, your most recent coaching stop was Bloomington.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. And I think Mike Benton is here, the voice of the Tips. Is Bloomington one of the teams that's under the arms of Bill Ewell and part of the ownership group from the Silver Tips?
That
Am I right on that?
Actually, in the USHL, matter of fact.
Which mic is he on, Tom? Is that B1?
That should be B1.
Hang on a second.
That
We're playing Battleship over here. All right, repeat your answer.
Mic test, test. 1, 2, 3. There we go.
So it is one of the teams in the Silvertips family.
Yes, in the USHL currently.
Okay, so tell me about the Bloomington experience. And obviously this was a jump you wanted to make, so we'll talk about the jump from Bloomington to Everett. But tell me about your experiences there.
Yeah, it was a great 3 years. We started the program 3 years ago, and as an expansion team, 4 years prior to that, we started the Amarillo Bulls as an expansion team under CSH as well. So I've started two programs. It was a little different league from the prior one because it's much like the Western Hockey League. It's draft-based.
So when you say started, I mean you went out. You had no players.
No,
you had no team, and
drafted 60 of them.
Yeah, so that's the learning curve. Yeah. Probably pretty big there.
Yeah, learning the league, learning the draft. I did both GM and head coach all 7 years prior to this. So I'm really looking forward just to put my whole effort into the coaching side. But I learned a lot there throughout managing. The business side a lot more at that level, the trades, the getting acclimated to the league and being a new team. So there was a lot that went into it, a lot of everything from finding billet families to we had to do the schooling side, the finding equipment managers and all in the summer. So there was a lot. We wore almost every hat we asked our staff. We chipped in and helped out everybody, and it was a really, really, really good experience, and one that I obviously cherish. I had some great coaches I worked with there over the course of 3 years, and Mike Watt, who's now taking over as the head coach in Bloomington, Dan Jewell's going to be the general manager, and prior to that was Harry Mahood, who I had in Amarillo, and just great guys, fun to be around. We won more games than we lost, and it always makes it a lot more fun, and then we moved on a lot of kids at that place to college hockey, to Division I college. So that's how we were kind of evaluated there. Besides just wins, it's moving players on.
Our guest is Dennis Williams, the new head coach of your Everett Silvertips, who, Tom, looks 25 years old, but sounds 75 years old. Raspy coach's voice. He said you have a raspy coach's voice. Yeah. You have a raspy coach's voice. Yeah. Natural voice, or is this from yelling and screaming?
I haven't been yelling and screaming this weekend. That's just my natural. I had a lady, I got to tell you a story. I'm in Amarillo, Texas, coaching, and I'm walking down the aisle. Of course, even my voice down there is a lot different than Texans, And a lady goes, "You're the voice." And I'm like, "Pardon me?" She goes, "You're the voice. You're the hockey coach. I could tell. I heard you talking down the other aisle." Oh. And she came right over. So no one has the voice for a minute. Wow. And it was pretty funny. I never thought of it, that way.
Forget the witness protection program.
Yeah. So it's it's definitely a distinguished, deep, raspy voice.
Well, good. All right. Well, easy to recognize when you appear on this radio program. So let's talk about how you heard, through the channels. All right. The Tips are going to make a change at coach, and Kevin Constantine's been a good friend of the show. I'll admit that I like Kevin and have had very deep, thought-provoking interviews over the years, and I'm a big fan. I'm a bit saddened to see him go. You hear about the job opening, and at what point did you realize, okay, this is a good fit for me, I want this gig? I mean, sure, you had to feel it out first and see if this is right for you. What made it right for you?
Yeah, correct. And like you mentioned, Kevin, I've had a great relationship with Kevin over the years of being in CSH. And obviously, he's done a terrific amount of great things here in Everett on two terms, when we first started and then left and came back. And, when the job opened, it was one of those where I made the call to Gary at the time and kind of get a pulse, where he was at. And it was a few years ago when Kevin got the job. I was in Amarillo and I made the call and it wasn't my time, and I always respect that we're in the coaching world and you can't take things personally, out there and but you do things right. And so when I talked a little bit more with Gary about it, and I obviously called a lot of our friends, where I was coming from, it's geared, college hockey to come to the Western Hockey League. Being from Canada, I followed Major Junior. I was drafted by the Sioux Greyhounds back then. And
right.
So I followed it, and it's always been a league that I've always wanted to coach in. And there's a lot of great coaches and great programs in it. And, so to have the opportunity to come, what I would consider 7 years ago when I came to CSH, it's always been a job that has been of high interest because under our umbrella, I always followed their success, as well. So when the opportunity arose and went into some deeper conversations and talked to my wife, of course, as we're trucking 2,500 miles out.
She said, "Everett, where? Where is this at?" And you showed her a map.
But we're really excited. We have a busy summer, obviously, with the move and everything. And I have two daughters that are 5 and 8. But we're
how do they feel about it?
I don't know if they know so much right now. Like, they're in school.
They're at a good age to handle that.
They're upset a little bit because of their friends. But once they get out here, we're involved in the community a lot. My kids are active in sports, and my wife and I are in Bloomington. Same thing, when we moved there, it was a little nerve-wracking, and moved to Texas. Like, it's, but we integrate quickly. And
you're in a business where, you know, especially early on, moving is a way of life.
Yeah.
The first day you unpack, the day you're packing up for the next one.
I can tell you, we got boxes in our basement for 3 years that we haven't even looked at.
Yeah.
And I even said to her, my wife, the other day, I said, like, do we just dump these in the dumpster? Like, we don't know what's in them. They still got the packing tape. They got the labels from the Allied Movers the first time around, you know. But it's not easy.
Your championship ring is not in there, though, I assume.
I got to look for that somewhere. My wife probably puts it somewhere. And you have
a championship ring that you don't know where it's at?
Well, it's probably in a safe at home there. I got a few from when I played under 17 with Team Canada and that. Okay. But my dad just gave those back to me, actually, and not long ago. But we're again going back to it. It was one of those where I've always inspired and looked up to this program when we started in Amarillo, and then we bought Bloomington, the USHL, which was a step up, and I was there for 3 years. And so to have the opportunity to come here was—
So it's a natural progression, you believe, for you.
And I think personally, from a coaching standpoint, it is, you know, it's a league that does wonders and tremendous things for coaches that succeeding and move up, and it's a great challenge, and I look forward to learning more about other coaches in the league and their philosophies and how they coach and systems, and definitely it's going to be a little bit of adjustment period that hopefully I can, I know all, you know, we'll dive into this summer and learn about, but it's exciting, and I'm excited to meet the players.
All right, good. Yeah, I met the players yet. We're going to talk about that, but now we're entering the tough question phase of our interview. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, because we had Gary on, Gary Davidson, the team general manager, right after, and it was, again, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but it was very clear to me that Gary preferred a different style of hockey than what Kevin preferred. They had two different philosophies there, and Gary referenced many times, I want to score a lot of goals. Goals, goals, and more goals was the quote. And obviously your philosophy must fit in line with Gary because you got the gig. Did you sense that?
Yeah, I think right now in hockey, goals are tough to come by, but goals are the exciting part of the game. And when I talked with Gary about philosophies and how we played, he got to watch our teams play over the last couple of years when he was coming in to scout the kids from the U.S. development team that play in our league, and saw, I think, a little bit of our product of how we coach and how we played. But obviously goals are the entertainment value and the fun part for any fan and spectator. You know, it's, again, I'm not a shootout fan, but when I watch an NHL game and they get, you know, 15 seconds left in overtime, it's kind of fun to watch.
Have you heard the horn down here?
No.
It's loud.
Yeah, you know, and so it is something that, you know, we want to play with pace. We want to play intensity, physicality. We want to try to generate a lot of offense by having our D join the rush and some different areas to hopefully work on skill sets and creativity. But it's a game now where, you know, you watch the National Hockey League right now, it's always challenging and tough to score goals, you know, and we say with a change like this, we're going to have to go in and definitely try to open up and hopefully the players understand and buy in. It's exciting time, but it's also a lot of players are always excited sometimes about coaching, and some aren't either, because then you have the uncertainties, you know, and it's like with myself when I had a new athletic director come in at Bowling Green. Well, what's he going to be like? You know, I didn't know I had a good relationship with the other guy.
Well, if the front office and the head coach agree, then I think that's a win-win.
Yeah.
Which I think we have that here now.
I really like Gary's vision. You know, just as much as he was asking me, it was a two-way street in conversation to make sure that we have the same compatible mindset and philosophies on how we want to play. Otherwise, we'd bump heads.
Right. Now, I know every coach wants to win, and everybody's very competitive. I often... Again, I go to the hockey games I enjoy it, but I care more about the kids and where they're going to end up. And, you know, we all hope that they get their, live their dreams and make it to the National Hockey League. In your mind, what is the ratio for, you got to win, You want to win. You want the fans to have a winning team. You want to win for the organization, and it's good for job security, but also developing players to get to the next level and say, hey, that guy was a silver tip, and now he scored 30 goals. You know, Austin Murray, he's scoring goals like crazy in the NHL. What's the ratio of that for you? Is it player development to winning? And are they directly, I assume they're tied to each other.
Well, 100% they're tied. I think the more we put into the athlete themselves – kind of as a byproduct of the winning side of it. And we've always said if we can make our athletes better players, more confident players, we're going to win more hockey games eventually. But at this level, you're dealing with some younger hockey players that you got to have a little bit more time and patience with as they come along. But you also have to continue to put them into the games and into situations to see if they can do it. And that's always tough as coaches because we are geared to win hockey games, but you also, like you just mentioned, have to balance getting the younger new players through. And sometimes, obviously when you do that, you come across a nice surprise. You know, I've done that before where I've kind of put a player in a role and I've never given them that chance. And finally, we just started giving everybody the last few years opportunities on power play. Let's have everybody learn it. And you never, and all of a sudden we're like, holy, how come we haven't put this guy out here before? And someone's found a way. But sometimes as coaches, we get in our old habits of just thinking that this guy's a fourth line player. This guy's our power play guy instead of, well, maybe that guy needs a chance now, you know, and see how he does. So that's kind of our mindset as we move forward.
All right. Our guest is head coach Dennis Williams of your Everett Silver Dips. And now you're going to tell me whether I'm going to win $40 or lose $40. The Memorial Cup is underway.
Yeah.
I lost a bet to Tom over here for $20, and I doubled it or nothing. I took the Seattle Thunderbirds and gave him the other three teams in the Memorial Cup playoffs, which I don't even know who they are. The Windsor Spitfires?
Yeah, they're the host.
Who's in it, Mike?
The Windsor Spitfires, the host team.
There's somebody named the Otters.
The Erie Otters.
I was going to
Led by
them.
Dylan Strome and Alex DeBrincat.
Uh-huh.
And the St. John Sea Dogs. So I have about roughly 86 19-year-olds on that team.
All right, so who's going to win? Am I going to get my $40 or not? I took the Thunderbirds. I
got the field.
They're 0-2
and he's
right
got
right
the
now.
Field.
He's got the field.
And are they down 0-2 already?
Yeah, they got beat 7-1 last night.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Backs against the wall now.
Well, it's funny how you say that. Like, the host Windsor's been off 44 days.
Yeah,
they got put out, and they're 2-0. They just beat Seattle 7-1 last night, and they went
7-1.
I think that's
touchdown.
Oh, I think that's what 6 or
seven. Oh yeah, it was 7-1.
Yeah, how quick was that? 4-0.
For God's sakes! All right, so you like the score? I can already tell that already. You like these 7-1 games?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I got to get used to is these NHL games starting at 4 out here. I went home last night, and again they're 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock starts for us, and I went back to the hotel and put on the TV and it was already 4-0 after one. I was like, I couldn't even believe the game started. Yeah. It was 5 o'clock. So.
But when the game's all done by about roughly 6:30 or 7 o'clock, it's in the past and you have more family time.
It's still light out. Yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to be home by
till like 9 o'clock. Actually,
yeah. Well, I went through that adjustment many years ago. It's definitely preferable West Coast start times. Football, NFL football games, 10 o'clock in the morning, much better than one. Now, you are obviously a hockey guy from the time you were probably put skates on when you're two. What's your second favorite sport?
Golf.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We got a tradition at the end of every year. We pull a few players out. It used to be father-son for me. Me and my son would take on two silver tip players and take them out golfing afterwards. And we need to revive that now. So
I love watching golf. I love playing golf.
Oh, so
nothing on a Sunday on a rainy day to watch. You know, the final day. I'm actually taking my father and my father-in-law to the U.S. Open in a couple weeks.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
In Erin Hills.
Erin Hills, Wisconsin.
It was a
Father's
Day gift last year I got for them. So we're going to spend the day up on a Friday for the day up there and drive up there and watch it.
All right. Well, we are going to have a golf match. I know you're.
I didn't
be,
say I'm very good. I just enjoy it.
He's now the sandbagging begins. No, I'm not good. Yeah, that's the next thing. Now, and I've noticed in
and cards of 74 and just like that.
But you know, in playing, I've played golf with lots of athletes, and it amazes me. I mean, baseball players, the club head speed they generate is over the top. But I will say that even the silver tip players that weren't. We're well versed in golf, all hit the ball a ton, hit it a long ways. Is there something conducive between the two sports? There's a lot of great Mario Lemieux was a fantastic. Mm-hmm. Patrick Waugh was a great golfer. There's some real. Dan Quinn was a great golfer. Yeah. Hockey players.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. I think that's our off season sport, though. You know, as we go through it, it's a. You know, you work all year in the rink and you just want to spend the time outside, but you will find sometimes our wrists snap a little too quick, you know, and that's kind of mimicking a shot, and you'll see a lot of duck hooks quick and some screaming.
I hope to see those firsthand. One of my good friends, I when he came here to Everett, Mitch Love, became a big friend of the show, and I almost feel like he's a second child for me. I don't know where we are with Mitch, if he's still with the team or not. Do we know that? And I hate to put you on the spot with that question, but do we know, or have you completed your staff yet?
Yeah, you know, I've worked with Mitch the last few days, and we've had a great rapport, and I look forward to working with him this season, you know, throughout it. And obviously he can bring a lot of value, and he's a bright he's a bright coach, you know, and he's actually leaving today to go to Minneapolis to do some.
So he's part of the staff, or decision's been made already?
Yeah, and I'm really excited because, you know, he knows the league. He knows, obviously, the town. He knows there's a lot of, I think, between the two of us, and we've only sat together for the last 48 hours, but you can tell that there's a good gel there between us, you know, and vision. And I'm excited to get going with him, and because I do like how he sees the game. And obviously, you know, I knew who he was, and I was laughing a little bit today because the fans were – really excited to see, you know, Mitch. Yeah. I said he could run for mayor around this town, you know.
When they do the national anthem and they still yell fight and they yell love in honor of him to this very day. I mean, and he was part of that original team in here. And just for the last time that I played golf was with Mitch last summer after the season had all ended. It was a beautiful sunny day, and we chit-chatted. We're like, let's go. And we ran off to the golf course. And I think I had a 5-shot lead into the last hole. Took an 8, and he chips in out of the sand trap. And I don't know whether we tied. I think I might have won by 1, but it was funny because I thought I had him the whole time in the last hole. It's the competitiveness of you athlete types that take advantage of us radio guys who can't finish the job on the golf course.
They call that the coach's bounce.
Yeah, I get nervous and choke, and the true athletes, they rise to the occasion.
It's funny you just said that we golfed the other day back in Bloomington, and there was me and my one assistant, Mike Watt, at the time, and a couple friends. And so the back nine, we decided to play for a little something, you know. And and they go, it's funny how quickly the two coaches turn, you know, and we were partners. And we went from the joke and having fun to reading putts, getting serious, and we're talking maybe for a hot dog, you know, at the end. But it's not about the hot dog. It's about the winning, you know,
that's
and
exactly
you get bragging
rights
till the next time you
exactly
play.
Right. We did USA versus Canada golf and had a radio station in Canada busload their golfers down here. And so we have a nice hockey and golf tradition with your team, so we'll have to get you involved. So I won't rough you up with any other questions. We just wanted to get to know you and get to meet you today. I hope that we can count on you visiting on the show and understand that I won't ask you all the normal questions. You'll get weird ones from me.
Hey, I'm good with that. I really appreciate taking the time to let me come up and talk, and I definitely look forward to sitting down sooner than later.
Do you know how to play the piano?
And so it begins.
I don't play any instruments.
No musical instruments.
No, I wish I did.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
You know what everybody says? They got a voice like
can
tone,
we pick?
Like Tone Loke.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So
you
everybody,
Cole
Medina, everybody says.
I can hear that. All right, cool. And I said, what's your favorite music? I was going to play music for your bumper, and you said you're more of a country music guy.
Yeah, I like country, but I didn't. I like the Tragically Hip out of Canada.
You have to if you're from Canada.
Yeah, that's right. They're a staple up there for us. But
they're the only band that writes songs about the Toronto Maple Leafs too.
Yeah,
they
that's
write
right.
Music, yeah.
And for a lot of those years, it was probably pretty risky for them because they weren't doing too well. But I like country a lot. My wife and I listen to a lot. We hit up a few country concerts a year, and at the end of it, I'm blue jean cowboy boot guy, you know, and so that's kind of my background.
Well, you're in. That's probably there's a country music station right there, Classic Country, 1520 KXA. So you'll get lots of country music there. You mentioned two kids. You said an eight-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Two girls, two boys.
Two girls, Emerson and Elise. Emerson's 8, Elise is 5. Elise plays hockey. Emerson does not. She plays basketball and gymnastics and that. So they're ones finishing up second grade and pre-K right now.
Yeah. All right, we'll wrap things up with you. When you meet the team, there'll be some apprehension, I assume, on both sides of players that are coming back. And you hope you get Carter Hart back in goal. That'll make life a lot easier. You'll get to meet the players. I'm sure you've done your scouting reports on it. But have you planned out your initial message? Are you a fire and brimstone, yelling, screaming type? Are you more of the cerebral, laid back? What kind of coach are you?
I think I'm probably a mix between everything. Like, I think the intensity is there. 10, 15 years ago, I was talking to someone, the maturity hasn't
10, 15 years ago when you were 8. You don't look old enough to be the coach.
Well, I clean shaved. Yeah, I normally, yeah. And, yeah. But I think the biggest thing is getting the guys together and having an open dialogue and rapport and to know that, you know, myself and Mitch are here to get them better, you know, as well. And there's going to be times when expectations are high, and every time they reach those goals, you got to keep going up higher. But I look forward just to, you know, giving calls to the guys this week, the players, because I haven't spoke to them, and I was waiting till after today, and I got all their numbers. So I'll reach out to them over the next 5-7 days and introduce myself, and that way there, if they have any questions moving forward, they can reach out. And you know, and then it's kind of the game plan. And I'm sure when I go home this week, like I do every year, I'll put together a projected lineup that is nowhere near close or right. And I normally put it on my fridge, but I can't put it up there now because we're moving.
Okay.
So we got to keep everything off our fridge right now. But I normally put up, you know, kind of and with this year's team would be a little bit harder, not knowing many of them of what they've done. But I always try to do it as a little bit of an idea to see how wrong I normally am, to be quite honest.
All right, final question. Tom, you know this one's coming. We ask, no matter what coach and what sport, when you become a coach, everything you wear has the team logo on it eventually. You'll have jackets, coats, shirts, hats, everything. What happens to all the Bloomington hockey gear or any other team, the Amarillo team?
Yeah.
Where is it? A yard sale? Did you get rid of it? Did you still have it? What happens to coaches' clothes? It's never heard from again.
It's so funny you said that. My wife was just cleaning up the house and she put all my Bloomington Thunder stuff in two bags. And she's like, get it out of here, right? Like, not in a bad way, but she's like, you can't be taking this. I'm like, oh, I know, but there's a nice Under Armour shirt. You know, or something.
No, you can't have it now. You got to get rid of it now.
You know what I'm lucky is my brother is one of our scouts.
Okay.
So he'll have probably the best clothing of any scout out there with all my stuff. But, you know, I give it to the neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't get rid of it. Like, everyone who comes by, hey, take this with you, take this with you. And but we'll probably get rid of two boxes for sure.
That's fantastic. All right, well, now we know. Now we know what happens to it, at least. Or a big yard sale at some point.
Yeah.
And you have lots of stuff. Well, a pleasure meeting you. We wish you the best of luck, and I'll offer lots of support for you. Look forward to future visits on the show. Mike, are you signed, sealed, and delivered? Are we all good to go with you?
All good to go as far as I'm concerned. I gave my boss, actually, about roughly a year ago, we had a good sit-down conversation, and he just asked me, so how you liking this league? And I said, you know what? It's so good. It's so professional. It's so upscale and stable that you can basically count me here for as long as I live, unless really the NHL comes calling. There really is no, I think, greater league to work in, to build relationships in, than this one, and even in a place like All we right. have right here.
Fantastic.
The wife is doing great here as well, so it's home.
And you're wearing a tie today.
Yes, I am.
Very rare.
Very rare in our office. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, there you go. Dennis William, the new head coach.
It's all downhill from here.
Of your Everett Silvertips. Dennis, great to meet you. I look forward to, before you get too busy, we got to schedule the golf match.
That'd be great.
And
I look forward to that.
We can form the basis after that.
Yeah, we got to play one round, and then we'll set the handicap at that point.
Just ask Mitch. He'll give you the full scouting report on the fish. No question about it. All right. We'll have more hockey talk, and we'll have more visits in the future. Dennis Williams, we welcome him to town as the new coach of your Everett Silvertips. This is Fox Sports 1380, FM 95.3, 3-6 with the fish.
Association reminds you that May is Clean Air Month. One thing you can do to help clean the air is to quit smoking. I'm Farmers Agent Cindy Smith. Do you know that a non-smoker saves money on their life insurance? On average, smoker rates for men are $2,025 and women $1,505 each year for a 20-year, $500,000 term life policy. Quitting smoking for an entire year reduces the average premium for men 40% and 44% for women. So help celebrate Clean Air Month by not smoking and saving money.